Hello, this is Grant from the Groupies Podcast and More Media. I just wanted to let you know today about our sponsor, Anchor. Anchor is a free podcasting app and website that you can access at any time. It allows you to publish, host, create, basically do anything with podcasts all for free. It's amazing. It basically runs most of And More Media, all of the podcasts that we do here. It specifically helps us at Groupies by publishing all of our podcasts everywhere where podcasts can be heard. Basically, you can use it as any regular website or podcast host where you upload your podcasts and you publish them to your RSS feed. However, Anchor is really cool in that there is a free app that you can download, Anchor, at any time to publish, produce, create your podcasts on the go. It's amazing. You should definitely go check it out. It's at anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm to visit more. All right, back to the show.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Welcome to Groupies. This is the A side of this week. I'm Grant.
I'm Amir.
I'm Tom.
Ni hao. Wajao Hannah.
And this week, talking about a classic album. And as you guessed it, I think Hannah kind of gave it away here. She's going to take it away with...
That was actually Mandarin, not Korean. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Ni Hao's Chinese. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Or Mandarin.
But I don't Mandarin speak any Korean, so I did Mandarin instead. Mm. So I get to do our episode today for the A-side. It's, I'm the last one yet on this, our beginning of our new format where we all pick a general or personal classic for the A-side, and it is my turn. And I picked 130 Treble by Dean. He's a Korean artist. He's technically considered alternative R&B in Korea.
I would have said
although
R&B.
I think that same. Alternative should be a loosely based statement because he's not super unpopular, but he's also not super popular. I think he really likes the title of alternative, so he kind of sticks with it because if you watch interviews with him a lot, people will be like, how do you describe your music or how do you describe yourself? And he's like obsessed with saying different. Like, I want to do things differently, so, blah, blah.
Maybe so alternative in this case sounds like a different sound.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And also a mixture of things like so one cool thing that I'll say when I'm kind of introducing Dean as an artist, whose real name is Kwon Yuk, by the way, but he goes by Dean. He actually picked Dean because he's really into like American culture and he liked James Dean and he thought that James Dean as like a
Jimmy Dean
the breakfast sandwiches.
I was also thinking that he also seems like he's a huge fan, but we can get to after you finish this, of current R&B sound in the US.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll get into that later, but he's been compared to a lot of the, and I think he definitely does that knowingly. So Dean is one of the only popular Korean artists who made his debut in music in America before he made his debut in Korea. And that's kind of like the opposite of norm. Usually they'll debut in Korea and they'll, you know, come over and get an audience base in America. But he released his first stuff in 2015, I will believe. Let me look at my notes really quickly. Okay, so Dean started his career when he was 16, working with hip-hop artist Keith Ape. Okay, so Keith Ape is also an alternative Korean
I'm a fan.
Artist.
I know that is.
Keith Ape is definitely, though, it's an interesting mix because Keith Ape's a much different sound than Dean. Keith Ape is kind of harder hip-hop.
He's like
whereas
a dark rap.
Definitely. Dude, yeah. Keith Ape does a lot of features with American artists, such as like he has a song with Chief Keef. He has a song with X at one point. So yeah, but anyway, Dean started his career working with Keith Ape.
Do they know each other like personally? Or is it like through the label?
I think it was a little bit of both. Right now his label is Universal, but before he was on Universal, he was on a different smaller label I can't think of right now. But back then, before he started putting out his own music, Dean worked as a producer for pop or producer and a writer, a songwriter for other Korean artists. Gotcha. And it was when he was working on song lyrics for popular bands and stuff that he started thinking, hey, I want to put out my own stuff. And then that's why 2015-ish, he started working on his own things. And he made his first debut overall in music in America with the single I'm Not Sorry, which features Eric Bellinger, I think is how you say that. I might be saying that incorrectly.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. That song slaps, man. And he worked with, that's Tommy's word. Just got to put that in there for credit reasons. He's did that one. And then he, I think he also did Put My Hands on You and the other, he has another really popular one in English that he released around the same time. But that's when he made his debut. And then he went over to Korea and he debuted with his full album that we're talking about today, mm-hmm. which is the 130. It may just be said out loud, as I've heard in interviews, I've heard people say Trouble. I've also heard people just say TRBL. So I don't know.
Say Trouble or Trouble?
Treble is what I was saying.
Is 130 the BPM or is that just like a random
Trouble?
It could be. Of all the interviews I watched, I never heard him actually talk about. I think he wants to be.
Okay.
I think a large thing with Dean is almost like a borderline obsession with wanting to be different, which is arguably like he's not that different. But I think he does cryptic things like that and alternative things like that because he wants to be. Which was the whole thing with the Dean thing was he was like, he grew up and then he'd see James Dean in movies and he'd be like, okay, that's sort of rebellious, I want to be different type of thing. That's what I want to do with my music.
So he's seen like two movies.
It's false.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes,
James
okay.
Dean was dead by the point that, you know.
He saw Rebel Without a Cause and he's like,
and that's
yep,
it.
That's
he's
it.
He's like,
I'm
that's
done.
Me.
But also because of like cultural differences, like if you were to, you know, watch like famous Korean movies or famous Korean actors and actresses, you might get something different from their character than what they get from their character or whatever. So that's how he interpreted James Dean. And he was like, because that's what I'm trying to do with my music, I'm going to go by Dean. And
kind of looks like James Franco, too. So
sometimes he
yeah, no, I'm saying like James Dean. So he could have got them mixed up and thought they were the same guy.
He also, on rare occasions, does this thing where he goes by Dean Fluenza.
Dean what?
Fluenza.
Dean Fluenza?
Like a sickness.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
He's sick with it.
I don't think it's
beats.
That creative, but then at the same time, I think about how I only know one language. And if I were to try to make clever things with other languages, mine would probably be pretty corny too. And then I have some empathy because I'm like, yo, you're out here being bilingual and I'm not, so I'm not gonna make fun of your your English mastermind things you put together because I can't do anything in Korean, so good for you.
Well, a lot of them are out there because it's the second language.
Korean?
Exactly.
Mandarin is the first language.
No, I'm saying so English.
Oh yeah, okay, gotcha.
So if someone's bilingual, it's supposed to be English.
Mandarin is number one. Is English really number two?
Yeah, well, out there.
Are you talking about in the world?
I think Mandarin's first.
No, Mandarin's number one
in the
world. You're
talking about just in Asia? English is number two?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were talking about in Korea, and I was like, Mandarin is not number one in Korea.
No.
What were we talking about before we got into a language thing?
Influenza?
You said he's bilingual.
Yeah, you said something about influenza.
And it's impressive that he can do all the
that he
puns.
Can at least do H1 some things. I mean, it's better than what I can do. Yeah, okay, so what his... I just found it in my notes. It was Here and Now, Hands on You, and I'm Not Sorry that he debuted with in America in 2015. And it was very shortly after that, in 2016, that he came back and put out his Korean debut... of Pour Up, which is on this album,
are those
which he did with Zico.
Are those songs English or
what
Korean?
They are?
Or they
are
mix?
Mainly Korean with some English mixed in.
Why
there.
Would you debut that in America? That makes like almost
no
sense to me.
No, Pour Up was his Korean debut.
Oh,
was so when he came back and debuted.
I thought you said he debuted in America first.
He did,
and those were
but
English.
The songs that he debuted with in America first were English songs.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So then he went to Korea. He's
so like
going
the
back.
I was like, that's a weird thing to do.
Those are the singles I was bringing it up that aren't on this album, but are just as popular for him reception wise as this album was. Mm-hmm. Were his English ones. Then he came back and he was making music in Korean. But something that you will realize listening to this album and the majority of Korean albums, no matter what the genre, is that even when they're mainly in Korean, there's going to be English like sentences or phrases, you know, sprinkled in there because
or intros.
A lot of, you know, people who make Asian music are also fluent in English. And so it's just
Psy,
something
Gangnam Style.
I can't. We're just going to brush past that. That's what we're going to do. And I have some stuff down here for, okay. So sound-wise, comparison, Amir, he mentioned earlier that he thinks that it's pretty obvious that Dean wants to take some similarities with R&B sound from America.
Specifically like the trap soul sound.
Specifically like Bryson Tiller.
Yes, like his yes. album's name, Trap Soul.
Okay, so did you read anything about the reception of this album?
No,
or anything?
I just listened and was like, this sounds like a Bryson Tiller album.
Okay, well, then you share a similar thought with a lot of people because a lot of the reception that the album received was a specific comparison to Bryson Tiller. And Dean doesn't try to hide that either. Like, if you ask him who he listens to, he'll usually give like a list of like 4 or 5 people, and one of them is always Bryson Tiller. Always. I think they also, okay, so yeah, so US Magazine Spin wrote an article, and this is a quote from them. It says it refers to him, to Dean, as the Bryson Tiller indebted youngster. And recent Universal signee, had some attendees comparing him to a young Usher. Smooth sound that reminds you of 90s era Usher or this year's Bryson Tiller flow.
That one. The first
so
one.
So it was like various receptions. I mean, I get more Bryson Tiller out of it than I get Usher.
I can literally look.
But I'm just saying that that's like, that was something that was written in a reception
article. To be honest,
he could take
this album, take his verses off, and then give it to Bryson, but like not current Bryson, but like back then Bryson.
Which how does that make you feel? Because I know you you kind of like Bryson's older album
Trap Soul
more than his newer stuff,
yeah,
right?
It sounds like Trap
which
Soul.
Which I do as well, which I think is
but
like
Korean Soul.
Yeah, which is why like Koreans can be trap. Shout out to Keith Abe because that's all he does.
Yeah.
Anyway,
is Keith Keith Abe, is he Korean?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it pronounced Abe?
Ape.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his arguably his most famous song is called Itji Ma, which has like X on it. And Itji Ma is hard. It's also a bop. And it also does sound kind of
sound like emo rap?
No, it's more trap.
Ah,
it's very trappy.
Then
very
it is. Keith Ape can. Anyway, this is for the B side. This is for the B side. So before we start talking about the specific songs and feels, I wanted to say how I got in to this.
Ooh,
yeah,
so I listen to a lot of like I don't want to just say Korean music because like Eastern music just lately a lot because like some of it is Mandarin, some of it is Japanese. A lot of people who are like my age that are like 20-year-old girls will say they got into this off of like BTS or something.
Ah.
Yeah. So I don't have any issues with BTS and I do listen to them, but they are not what got me into this. What got me into this was I arguably have a problem with K-dramas. I watch a lot of them. I used to not talk about it, but then I got to a point where I was like, we're just going to be out here. We're going to be honest about who we are.
What's
so,
can
yeah.
you explain a K-drama? Because I'm not from there.
Wow. It's
just
like
a drama in Korean?
No.
Is it
the reason
no.
I refer to it as a K-drama is because they all tend to, at least the romantic ones, they all tend to follow the same plot mm-hmm. line and be very mm-hmm. just predictable and cheesy and sometimes offensive.
Is it live action?
Yes. Well, in some cases.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like
slice of life anime.
I mean, anime is like a huge thing over there too. But when I say K-dramas, I'm more so watching live action ones than I am anime.
Long as fuck.
So long.
And they all follow the same plot.
Are they usually dubbed? Or like subtitles?
Well, subtitle.
Yeah.
There's an absurd amount of them on Netflix. So how I got into this music.
That's great.
How I got into this music is because I was watching the most modern remake of Meteor Garden, which is actually a very old story. It was based off of a show called Boys Over Flowers was the original one, way worse than Meteor Garden. Anyway, Meteor Garden has received like outstanding scores for their soundtrack, and they're basically their everything else. They had really good casting, they had really good blah, blah, blah. So I'm watching Meteor Garden, and I'm just watching to watch, and then I realize when I'm listening to the music, I'm like, you know what? This is a freaking banger. Ooh. And I get out my Shazam, and I Shazam that stuff, and I'm like, this song, I may not know everything that's going on, but I'm very happy. I'm listening to this. I'm smiling. It's a good time. This is like wake up in the morning, make coffee, dance around a little bit music, and I want it in my life. So I Shazam the Meteor Garden soundtrack. And the cool thing about the Meteor Garden soundtrack is that it's got about like two or three songs that are in English, then like two or three songs that are in Mandarin that aren't sang by cast members, but like actual Mandarin artists. And then the rest of the soundtrack are songs that were originally created and sang by the cast of Meteor Garden. By the way, because we're talking about K-pop when we talk about Dean, I should say that Meteor Garden is not Korean, it's Chinese. So that soundtrack was in Mandarin. I was listening to that, and that's how I got into this as a whole, because once I started listening to that music in my free time, I realized that I really liked it, and that's what caused me to branch out further. And then I started listening to the super popular stuff like BTS, and when I got done listening to them, I was like, hey, I wonder what some of the, you know, smaller and alternative artists are doing, because when I listen to American artists, I really like to focus on alternative sounds. So I was like, I'm gonna check out the smaller artists, and that's when I found Dean, and I really, really liked this album. And there was something about it, when I listen to music a lot, and I talk about it on the podcast, I talk about it a lot of music I like for sentimental reasons. I think this episode is like really cool in a different way, because I have no sentiment to this music, and usually I'm a huge lyric person, and obviously my connection to this is not lyrical either, because I don't speak these languages. So it's all a sound connection, you know? And that really grew me as a listener, which is why I wanted to talk about it today, because usually I listen to stuff for like lyrical-based stuff, or for lyrical-based reasons, or like emotional reasons. But honestly, I just listen to this music because I think that instrumentally, it's really good. Dean, I like his voice a lot, and the music that he makes puts me in a really good mood. And this album gets a lot of rotation for me because it's feel good. It's a vibe. And that's different than I usually say. Amir's laughing.
No, because when Tom, like, he was listening to the songs.
Well, I was listening to Keith Ape for a second. Yeah,
and then he put his phone
Keith
down.
Keith Ape is an acquired taste.
He was putting down a briefcase. It looked like he was like, okay, I'm...
Anyway, on the B side, I'm just gonna do some teasers right here. That on the B side, we're gonna talk. Since I brought in this Korean artist, we're gonna talk about foreign music in general. So we're all gonna bring in any foreign artists that we listen to, you know, that aren't super like Western based, and we're, you know, gonna talk about who we like. So when we get on the B side, I will talk more about Eastern music, and like I mentioned, BTS, kind of like the boy band culture, and a lot of other some of the indie artists that Dean often features in his songs, like there's this really talented girl named she goes by Hazy. She's on a lot of his songs, and we'll talk about it's Heize. It's like Haze, but a little bit of emphasis on
the E. Make sure everyone
e.
else knew that it wasn't Halsey.
No. Anyway, so I will talk about the other indie versus super popular Korean artists on the B side. And now we're gonna look at 130 Treble. We're gonna go song by song.
Can I ask you a question before you do this?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So since a lot of it is not in English, do you listen to it and then like look up what the translation is, or are you just like, yeah?
I'm gonna be honest, a lot of the time I don't, and here's why. I don't.
You don't have to.
Because I have a few times, and it's always very prominent. Grant and I were actually talking about this before the episode, because he was, yeah. Well, you weren't looking it up. You weren't looking it up. He was.
All right.
Amir with an E.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah. When you look up these lyrics and you look up the translations, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at something totally unrelated. I'm trying to pull up my Spotify to look at this album right now.
Are you going
to
say that the translations are like not, they sound dumb? They don't work.
Yes.
That's how I feel when
yes.
I'm listening to anime. Okay. I'm watching anime, and then like the outro comes in. And I'm like, what the fuck is this song?
Exactly. So lyrics are really important to me usually. So when I look up the lyrics for this music, and I find that
I just have to see the subtitles.
That I find that they're choppy or loosely translated, and then I know this is not actually, you know, even close to word for word what this person is saying. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my positive feel on this song to be ruined by some loosely, like, choppy translated English thing that's not really what they're saying. And also, even if you do translate it, like, certain phrases and things, they're just not the same. Like, I know it's widely based, the term lost in translation, mm-hmm. but like they could be, you know, saying some things in their language that are like really, you know, that create a different emotional response or more original. We may look at it and be like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense, or that's not very clever, because a lot of it can be like lost in translation. Mm-hmm. So to answer that question, I'll say no. I don't usually look up the lyrics, because the lyrics usually disappoint me, because I feel like they're, you know, they're inaccurate or choppy. And also because I don't listen to this music for the lyrics. I listen to this music for the feel.
Like Tom does with every genre.
Yeah.
Uppity, like Tom.
Yep. Uppity Tom. Uppity Tom. See, I took over being the uppity, the F lyrics person this week from Tom, because I just listen to this music because it puts me in a vibe.
And that's why Tom enjoyed it.
Oh. So first of all, I'd like you guys to go around. First of all, I just want to say that all three of these podcast members right here are very nice gentlemen, because none of them listen to K-pop, but they all did it this week. And so feel free to say your real opinions on it. You don't have to spare my feelings, because you did what I asked, was to just open your mind and listen to it. So let's hear some responses about how this made you all feel. All right, go.
So I was listening to Trap Soul today.
Oh my god!
I mean,
god.
Sorry, to Dean. damn, fuck! I'm sorry. It just slipped. It just slipped. I get them mixed up. They're very similar.
Ah, I knew that was coming.
But I was listening to Trap. No, I mean 180.
Amir.
130 Trouble, Trap Soul album. But I was listening to that, and I really liked Half Moon.
He added a few to his playlist.
No.
They're starred.
I do that all the time. Oh. I add songs so I don't have to like download it during But I like the ending of And You, the outro. That should be an intro because it's the intro.
That's very interesting. See, I like the fact that the outro is first.
Do you have more like background behind this album?
Is there a reason why?
He did the listing on
talk
purpose,
about it
backwards, right?
Oh, so
talk
I should list
it
from
oh, okay,
seven
Amir's
to
going.
One. Should I listen? Should I have listened from seven to one?
No, I listened it from one to seven. But
so
I,
you tell me, what did he say
in
about this
he
outro?
Said it was on purpose.
Well, let me hear it. What was the purpose of it?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly,
sorry.
Okay.
Flip the table.
To be different.
Okay, I hate...
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it... There could very, very well be some sort of... Some sort of... Exactly. There could very well be some sort of complex reason behind him putting the outro first, but if it was just to be different, I wouldn't put it behind him, because, like I said, he's sort of obsessed with...
It really bothers me that there's an outro at the intro, but there's no intro at the outro.
That's what I'm saying, because it...
He's got to complete the full.
Yeah, he just does it to anger you two specifically.
Mm-hmm. He's not different.
Yeah.
He's not.
I really enjoyed this, though. I'm a big fan.
As far as pretty much agreeing with you that he's not that different, you still didn't say whether or not you enjoyed it or hated
finish?
It. Okay.
Sorry, I interjected and
you
I.
Interjected,
I
you
Grant just garbage. Didn't want me to feel too personally attacked, right. But I emotionally prepared myself for this episode, so no matter what happens, I'm fine. Idea.
I like the end of the outro when it gets to the English part. I thought it was weird that the intro was the cops at the door, because I'm like, why are the cops in English? You know?
Why can't they be in English?
Because it just threw me off. I don't know. Like I came into
other parts of the songs are in English as well. Not just the cops.
The cops were. I like how he says, it's my fucking ex. Yeah. I like that verse. And I like
the one
ending.
English line that's right in. You picked that out for yourself.
And I like the ending because, like I said, I like the ending to the first song because I love the whole, like, it's very, the lyrics aren't good, but. Mm-hmm.
So you focused on the lyrics instead of listening to the sound.
No, I listened to the sound too. That's why I said sounds like Trap Soul.
Okay.
That's exactly why I said sounds like Trap Soul. I didn't start looking at lyrics till I got here. And I also noticed the lyrics on this song. If I was looking at lyrics, I'd be pretty upset because I couldn't fucking understand. Or because
of the translation.
Yes, and I also like how he says motherfucker, and he says motherfucker good. But
again, that one line, the English line, and I just picks it right out. I like this one.
I like how he does the I got 99 problems. Shout out to Jay-Z. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like just the overall. Okay, I will say I like the overall sound. Because I do like that trap soul type of sound.
Okay.
Clearly, because I love that album. But it's all right.
Okay.
It's not bad. I mean, like, right. Don't get me wrong. When I came into this, when you say K-pop or anything with Korean, I usually think like a BTS or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, I was like, I didn't even know
but
they made R&B.
But this is more R&B, whereas BTS is more pop,
yes,
hip-hop.
I was going to say, I didn't even know they made R&B. I thought they would just
Dean,
like,
Dean definitely has
that.
Like hip-hop influences, especially if you listen.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if you listen to some of his really popular singles out, some of his really popular singles outside of this album have, I would say, a little bit less of an R&B, and he picks up a little of a hip hop, especially when he features with people.
What?
But this album specifically, yeah, it is going to be different than if you're expecting a BTS sound.
So it was interesting to hear that kind of, you know, darkish R&B sound. So yeah.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah. I like the sound and the mood in general. I really wish that, like, if he was going to go full into something conceptual like this where things are backwards, he could have done a lot more sonically to represent that. And
is that just going off of the outro at first? Or is that going off of...
Because he said in an interview for 21, the last song on the EP, that was supposed to technically be the beginning, and then he just, like, flipped the track listings. But, like, I feel like that gives you a lot more creativity to... Because, like, I think in Kendrick Lamar's Damn, he did the same thing where you... At the last song, there was, like, a reverse sound, and it was like technically you're supposed to go back to the beginning again to start it over. So, like, I guess actually from making a composition, it could have been a little more creative, but, like, I still think a lot of the things that he's talking about are, like, you know, relatable, and, like, I did enjoy just the general sound of it.
How?
Yeah. How do you mean?
Like, how is it relatable?
Because he's talking about love and romance and
but
going
how did
to parties
you get that?
And not liking.
How did you get love and romance?
Because I looked
at
the lyrics.
Whoa, you looked up
the
English lyrics.
Lyrics.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So I got...
You can actually kind of get that without translating
I just
the lyrics.
Got he some just wants to have sex. That's what I got.
That's also a big part.
I just got
even translated, that's more so.
To fook.
As a lot of R&B music is,
yes.
It's a lot about
yes.
sex and parties and self-identity
yes.
and
yes.
just trying to pretend like you're going with the vibe, but also talking about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to hear from the one who doesn't like lyrics that I felt like would be right
but
up his alley.
Still is not going to like this album.
Well,
let me say this. Hannah Careers. I'm not going to say it was bad. But But I don't like R&B whatsoever. Like
that
if
is
I
true.
Just had to erase one genre, it'd be R&B.
Yeah, he hates R&B.
And I will never listen to this album again.
Yeah, we are the complete
I just don't
opposite.
Like the sound and I don't R&B. And as much as you guys are like, he hates lyrics, I don't want to listen to it and be like, I got no fucking idea what's happening whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just don't like the R&B sound, and I also didn't like that I couldn't
you
understand
chose
any of
the
it.
one genre of music that Tom hates with a burning passion. It's
you
R&B.
Like actually hate it, or
yes,
you just,
I hate.
Don't
I don't.
He
no, I really
R&B.
Don't like R&B.
Yes,
it's
you too slow.
Out of your way to wipe it out if you could.
Yes, he doesn't like slow music. We've been over this.
I disagree. I think he likes some.
No,
slow
he
music.
Does not.
I like.
There's he likes very, very, very small amount of slow music. You can tell.
You can say that you also don't like something
that
and
is
like it, right?
Which one?
If I'm listening to slow music, it's not going to be R&B. It's
yes.
going to be like some like folk music from the 60s and 70s. Yes, it's Tom not going to be
literally.
You listen to like Vance Joy and stuff. You can also get into your feels with
some down music too.
Yeah,
right?
That too.
Which falls current to me
like
falls
indie
into
acoustic. You yeah. listen to like indie acoustic.
If it's
acoustic.
Slow, it's got to be acoustic. I'm not listening to a lot of like slow anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. Just trying okay. to defend
Tom
my boy
uppity.
Tom.
He's an uppity guy. He rarely listens to slow music.
Which is funny because the feeling that this gives me may be slow, but it's not sad.
I didn't say it's sad, not, but I was bored the whole time.
He like because yeah. it makes him bored. Tom listens okay. to music for the get hype. Like he wants the drugs aspect. He wants to
he wants
feel
the,
like he
the
just
6-9.
Did.
I'm going to
yeah,
go punch
like
someone.
He wants to feel like he just did a line of coke after music. You know what I'm saying? But you chose something.
I wish I had something to say to that, but I feel like it's kind of true.
It is true. Like there's other people, like for example, Grant, myself. We listen to anything. We can listen to any type of mood, like mood in a music.
Tom anyway,
says fuck the mood. I want
true.
That hype shit.
Except for this episode, though it be short and slightly confusing, is not about Tom. So
yeah.
moving on.
Whoa, so Amir gets to go off for 5 minutes, but Tom says one bad thing, it's over.
What else? Is there anything else?
No, actually, that's it. Oh.
I was saving him from going off about you.
They can go off about me. I'm okay with that.
Okay, well, I was
anyway. Saving you.
Grant was definitely attacking saving. Him personally. But anyways. I think personally, Hannah, that outside,
I got one more thing.
I think it wasn't my only issue was it with it. Is the like originality thing?
Yeah. Like, so I'm, like you feel like he stole from Bryson Tiller is what
yes.
you're saying.
Yes.
You can
yes.
say those words out loud. You can also yes. say if you hate the album. Like
I
I'm
don't
not
hate
a wee
album,
child.
Because I like trap soul.
Okay.
So I can't. Hate
okay. So
this
you don't hate it. You just
I like the trap soul album.
It's actually interesting. But talking about this because I didn't quite focus. I knew the Bryson Tiller comparison was a thing.
It's so but, strong.
Yes. Okay. But I didn't look into it like. The
I don't
facts.
Think I get it as much as you guys.
I just listened to Trap Soul 2 days ago because
anyway,
of this
I
album.
I didn't look into the
just
facts
the general
of
sound
it.
Now, though.
And I'm actually curious to know. I'll have to look it up after this episode when the year release dates for like the times Trap Soul was released versus when this album was released. I'm sure this album was released. I think this album was released after, but I'm also
so
not.
This album was released in 2016. I don't know when Trap Soul was released because I don't listen to Bryson Tiller. This is what I want to say.
I think a lot of
all that stuff that you were saying about him trying to be different just to be different.
2015 is when Trap Soul.
Or that's how I interpret it. That might not be what's going on.
If that's true, that irks me a lot. Because like MGMT after their first album, they were like, "Oh, we don't like being popular. We want to do something different." And I'm like, it makes me want to roll my eyes out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me nuts. People
but
are
I
like
also,
I want to be different just to be different. I'm like,
but it's
stop.
Not a, like it's not a different. That's the thing is for me, it's like it's not different.
Here's the thing though.
But in Korea,
it's not
be.
Different when you compare it to Bryson Tiller. It is different when you compare it to mainstream K-pop music.
That's what I was gonna
so
say.
So when he says
Korea,
he's different, I think he's comparing. Actually, his similarities to American music, I believe, is what he means by when he says he's different, because he makes it a purposeful thing to combine his sound with American hip hop sound, and then I think that might be why he's like, "Oh, I'm different," because I don't think he's saying like, "Oh, I'm different compared to American hip hop." I think he's saying, "Oh, I'm different compared to like BTS and Icon
and
I bands
feel
like
that."
That.
I feel that a lot. I feel that.
And also the lyric, well, I guess the K-pop thing. I don't like hate K-pop either because there's some BTS songs.
Well, no,
that
actually
I'm like,
you would because
like
it's
this.
Upbeat and it has no lyrics. So
I
you
put one
really
BTS song on the rotation playlist. Did you listen to it? I
Which
tried to find
it?
The literally, I tried to find the most uppity, slightly hardcore hip hop
no
BTS
lyric.
Song that there is, which is Mic Drop.
I listened to the whole thing, but I couldn't tell you.
Especially,
I
didn't put
it
on there because I was thinking, I see on Spotify where I stalk everyone and what they're doing. I see both you and Grant on occasion listening to Stevie Aoki. And Steve.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I have
so
wasted
Steve,
on me.
Not a fan of him, but I listen
Steve
to him.
Oh, really? Steve,
like
okay, so Steve Aoki
I like him.
Does.
Yeah, he does.
Is responsible for the most famous remix of Mic Drop. Like the Steve Ooh. The Steve Aoki remix of Mic Drop is more pop. We're not even on the B side right now. I need to stop. Anyway.
Just deep dive into your album now.
When I say he's different, I mean compared to Korean mainstream, not compared to the hip hop we're used to hearing, which he purposely and admittedly takes influence from, yes. Anyway,
right,
I'm not going to get into, we're not going to take time to do song by song today on my episode because, like I said, I like this album for the overall like vibe of it. And because of language translation issues, I don't really get a different vibe song by song with lyrics or anything. I mean, instrumentally I can, but honestly, the whole album sort of gives me the same feeling. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to like say my favorites off of it. And then maybe you guys can say the one, if there is one or two that you enjoyed, then you can put that in as well. My favorite is Bonnie and Clyde. Mm. And I also really like 21. So it's probably like a mix. I really like Bonnie and Clyde. I really like 21. I think they're two of the most upbeat songs on the album. And I think they give the most kind of, I want to say like a party feel to it. Which is funny that those are my favorites because arguably D or Half Moon is like one of my least favorites on the album, and that's his most popular on Spotify if you look at it. It's not that I have an issue with Half Moon. I actually like every single song on this album, which is why I picked it as a personal classic, even though it's fairly new to me. But D Half Moon is one of my least favorites, and that's one of his most acclaimed, and it won a bunch of awards and stuff. So, but Bonnie and Clyde in 21 are my favorite. Okay, I'm gonna be real about something. So I like Pour Up, but I can't. Zico ruins it for me. Like, I'll be listening to Pour Up and I'm like, this is a banger, and then Zico has this feature towards the bridge section in the song, and it just ruins it every time. I laugh. Why? I can't take it seriously. Because, okay, I'm gonna be real, and I mean this in the most compassionate way. Like I said, I'm very impressed by these people and the fact that they are bilingual and making songs that are a mix of languages. But I think it's a language translation thing, because Zico has this line in his feature that is in English but is like poorly worded, and I just can't.
Is the one we're talking about earlier, or is that a different one?
I don't know. Were you talking about Pour Up?
It was like, this is unfamiliarity or like.
No. So Zico's feature in Pour Up is pretty much entirely in English. That's why I'm saying that it's an issue for me, because the English words chosen just kind of like, it's got this whole, anyway. It's still a good song.
This is what we're talking about. In no particular order, I take off her clothes one by one. When the lights go off, it gets hotter. It just kind of sounds like...
That can't be what I'm talking about, though, poetry. Because the feature that I'm talking about is in English. It's not those words. It is not those words. It's something about...
Oh, I will do you tonight, private special.
Is that what do that says?
Do it stage, show me what you got. That's, and then later on, okay, he says, okay. I shall come pick you up?
Yep. Yes. Okay, so all of those words, and most of them are English, and none of them go together, but the specific section of private special do it stage ruins it for me every time, because the way that he says it is like he's trying to be a hype man.
Private special.
And then I'm like, oh God, do it stage is not a thing. Please, Zico, stop. I know you're trying your best, but please stop.
It sounds.
I can't do it.
Do you think he's,
it's a translation thing? Like, I don't.
Do you think he does that too? Because I know on a couple of tracks, Dean like kind of uses an interplay between the English and Korean sounds of words.
There is
words.
Not a single... That's not what I'm saying. There is. But what I'm saying is there is not a single time in which Dean does it where I think it is as cringy as when Zico does it on Pour Up. I just think that one takes the cake. Anyway, it's still a party song. It's a good one. And You, the the outro, and D Half Moon are the only ones where I'm like, eh. I still like them. Like I said, I like everything on this album. But Bonnie and Clyde and 21. And I would say I love it. It's just that I have to be in a mood for I Love It. I Love It is your, like, midnight playlist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that song is strictly just about sex. But it's also it's a really good vibe. And his voice sounds really pretty on it. So... But does anyone have like one or two that they either really like or really dislike that they want to talk about?
I really like 21 and You, and then Pour Up and What to Do. I'm pretty
okay. So you really like And You?
Cool about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I would listen to it. He has an upcoming album, right? Like,
yeah, so he's doing a lot. The thing about talking about this album that's hard about talking about Dean is that Dean has just as much music in single releases as he does this album. Oof. And so he's been working on stuff a lot with different artists, but a lot of them are singles and features.
I'd be curious to see what he takes for the next
But I'm sure that he's, yeah, I think he is working on a new album now because this one got really good reception. This was his debut album in Korea, and he's already, like, he's got a fan base going for him now. He's actually referred to the R&B, referred to as the R&B Prince of Asia on several of the, like, Asian pop article things I read for this episode. So, and that's off of one album, so we can say that for him. He got really good reception and built up a fan base just from this one, like, eight-song album. Yeah. Amir?
I like the And You and Half Moon.
Okay.
They would, if I had to make a playlist and, like, take two songs off of it, like, if someone's like, you gotta fucking take two songs off this album, those would be the two I would choose.
What about you, Tom? Any?
None.
If you were like, choose a few that you, or some good things about it. I thought the outro, that sounded like a song that'd be on like one of those like 24-hour study things that were like, that's like lo-fi beats to study to. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, I could throw that up. And it'd be like,
is lo-fi beats to study to. And that's what I'm saying. It's a vibe.
And then Pour Up has that like deep voice background where he's going, pour up. And I'm like,
drink.
Sounds
it
like
it's exactly.
It sounds like swimming pools.
It's exactly what I thought it sounded like, and I was like, I like that.
Yeah,
but that's. I didn't like the rest of the song, but I did like that bit, that aspect of it.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question before you move on? Is there any genres that you don't like, Grant?
Because if
I mean, you've liked every album so far,
we can get into it on another B side.
Okay,
but there's a few.
All right,
I would say.
Because he assumes that if it was going to be, that it
I don't
should be
really
K-pop?
Like,
question mark?
No, I'm just kind of curious. There's been like some diverse albums brought forward, and he's like,
I'm not really
a fan
of Latin music. Yeah.
Oh. Mine is country. And that's
I still listen to both of those.
I listen to Mason Ramsey, but yeah.
Famous.
So to round this out, I would like to end with, like I said, this album got really good reception. And so in 2016, Dean became the first. Can you guys stop? I have real social anxiety.
I'm sorry.
You can't stare at me because then I'll forget what I was saying. Okay, reception. In 2016, Dean became the first Asian artist to perform at the Spotify House. I think that's impressive.
Spotify House?
Yeah.
So it's not the same thing as Spotify Studios, is it?
I don't actually know. I mean,
I know they have the live recordings at the Spotify for like Spotify sessions.
It does say in his biography though, it says, it says in 2016, Dean became the first Asian artist, not even Korean.
Hell yeah.
Asian artist to perform at Spotify House. And it says he was
Spotify to not do that sooner.
He was, honestly, that's why I think episodes like this are important. Cause it's like everybody talks so much about music and then it's like foreign music. Oh, we're not going to talk about it or do anything about it ever. Anyway, he was alongside SXSW and Miguel and Churches. And then I read what the U.S. magazine Spin said about him, how they have the heavy Bryson Tiller comparisons. Also, according to the well reception of this album is the fact that he is now signed by Universal. Yeah. He was not. And then this album did well and Universal signed him. He was included in an official report done by Time magazine about K-pop artists who were attempting.
Looking at that.
Yeah, so Dean was included in a Time report about K-pop artists who are attempting to enter the mainstream American market, which he is. It has to do with his debut here and the fact that he, you know, takes a lot from American sound. He has been on several world tours already, or not several, I think two or three. But he does.
This dude does that off of one album and some singles.
That's why I think that it's worth talking about.
That's insane.
Like, he's done really well. And he has mentioned in interviews that it's very important to him to go to as many places in America as he can because he wants to reach his like audience base.
That's weird. Does he want to come to Mount Pleasant, Michigan?
He has been to Michigan. Groupies? Not Mount Pleasant, but he's been to Michigan on his last tour. He was in Michigan.
I guess we can talk about this more on the B side too, but like, do you think in K-pop and Eastern music, is it easier to rise up on less discography or not really? Sometimes I'll look into like some K-pop stuff and it seems like they don't, like it's a really new thing. and there's like not a ton of work.
Yeah,
behind
it's
some of
more
these people?
So a rise. It's a do you mean new thing for it to be acknowledged in America? Is that
I
what you're
so.
Saying? Yeah, it's definitely a rising thing. Like that's another reason I, you know, brought this episode in, because like K-pop, even if you don't listen to it, especially like boy band culture, K-pop is a rising relevant thing.
Yeah.
And breaking a lot of records. I think that's hard to say. I think that in K-pop that Korean listeners pay more attention to the artists as people than we do. I think that's why boy bands are a thing too, is more it's like, you know, do I wear the right outfits? How do I act in interviews? Do we have good chemistry as a band? Stuff like that.
They still idolize people though, right?
That's what I'm saying. And you have to pay attention to like an artist as a person in order to idolize them like that. I think that is more important. And I think that Dean has, you know, he's had the right connections.
Yeah.
And he pays attention to like fashion, and he's very big on like Instagram. He's always updating stuff and trying to be like culture relevant.
Yeah.
And also so he's very handsome, so that helps him too. Yeah.
Well, let's table that and save that for the B side, because I feel like there's an important thing. That's a
we will.
I'm really glad you brought this in though. I feel like it's a good thing to talk about.
As much as I was like on it, I think it's good to have diversity for what we bring in. So,
yeah. I think yes. that
I do
as a podcast,
it as
well.
I appreciate
it's important.
You.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, Amir. I think that as a podcast, it's important that we recognize other cultures' music, especially because K-pop is the majority
genre.
Of what I've been listening to the past 4 or 5 months, and it just happened. And I may not have some emotional or lyrical connection to it like I usually talk about on the pod, but I still think that it's awesome. And I wanted to share that. So, yeah, if you're interested in K-pop, don't think that it just extends to boy bands like BTS and Icon. They're great. And that is a thing. If you like them, you like them. I like them, too. But Korean music has just as many alternative and underground and indie artists as we do in American music. And those artists, you know, don't have to be in boy bands, be solo artists like Dean. And so look into those things, you know, on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a really good... there's some like that Hazy that I mentioned earlier, female artists for that too. So expand your horizons and grow as a listener and a person.
I feel like that's a perfect sentence to end it on. Yes.
Hold on, I got something else to say. I'm sorry, this comes out on Monday. Our next week episode is not going to be on our rotations. So it's not going to be album based. We're all going to bring in a handful of songs and talk about them on the podcast. And by the time this episode comes out on Monday, at least comes out on Monday, right? Monday, Wednesday?
Correct.
By the time this one comes out on Monday, we will have the playlist for what we're talking about. It'll be finalized. It'll be public. And that's Groupies:The Rotation. I believe that I'm the creator, so it's if you can find it through my name, that's Tom Delore, which is D-E-L-O-R. You can find the playlist that way, too. Just so if you want to listen to what we're going to talk about next week.
Tom is T-H-O-M, right?
No, it's T-O-M.
T-A-M.
Tam.
T-O-M.
So if you want to listen to that, do that.
Hell
yeah. What do someone want to give a tease what we're doing on the B-sides again? Before we wrap this up?
The B-side.
So the B-side
is...
I usually let
reference
you.
It a lot this episode.
I usually let you, my man, but
no, you
I gotta...
take it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is.
Yeah. So the B-side, like I kind of teased earlier, is off of this discussion of Dean as a K-pop artist, or as a, you know, Korean music artist, is we're going to talk about foreign music overall, especially foreign music that's not heavy assimilated in Western culture. So we're going to talk about any, you know, other Eastern artists that we listen to, music that's in, you know, other languages other than ours. And so, yeah, if you're into talking about music on a broader horizon than we usually do, make sure to check out our B-side for this episode.
With that, thanks for tuning in. Catch you on B-side.